Senator Mike Crapo is joining us now live. He is from Idaho, joins us live on WNDB's Mark Bernier radio program. Senator Crapo, welcome. Thanks for being with us, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
All right. They told me you're the point guy. You're the numbers guy. How much impact did the speculators have in this, Senator?
Well, you know, it would be really nice if we could just solve the oil gas price problem by passing a bill and stopping speculation or abuses in the speculation markets and fix the problem. But the reality is that the futures markets are not the source of the problem. The futures markets operate in such a way as to provide a market for those who do produce oil. They need someone to sell it to, and they would like to be able to have an ability to market it out into the future so that they can hedge or sell their product into the future and make confident decisions about engaging in loans and other investment decisions. And if anybody were to impact the futures markets in such a way as to manipulate the price of a commodity, including oil, they would have to essentially hoard the oil or somehow take possession of it and take it off the market. But what we've seen from studying it is that the Commodities Futures Trading Commission just assured yesterday that the oil production in the world is all being consumed. The problem is not that we are seeing somebody hoard the oil. The problem is that the demand is far outreaching the supply, and we have a pure supply and demand problem.
One of the market people that I deal with, Senator Crapo, said that the laws changed after 2000 that made it easier for the speculators to profit. Is that true?
I've heard that argument. The argument is that after the year 2000, they allowed those who were speculating in the futures market to do so without limits on the amount of their speculation. And some have said that, well, that makes it possible for them to then manipulate the markets. Again, the only way that would make it possible to manipulate the markets is if the person purchasing the futures contracts would actually take possession of the oil. And it's easy for us to go in and see if that is happening. And so the increased level of investment does not indicate any kind of manipulation. What you have to look for is whether somebody is somehow controlling the supply in a way that they can impact the supply and demand curves. And so although theoretically allowing people, the change that allowed in the year 2000 that allowed speculators to have larger positions could allow them to have a larger hoarding impact if they were to engage in hoarding, what we're seeing is that that is not happening. And in fact, the Commodities Futures Trading Commission regularly, in fact, aggressively monitors that. And when they see it even starting to happen, they take prompt action.
Well, this is a fundamental question, Senator Crapo. If, in fact, energy is a national security issue for us, should we even allow speculation?
Oh, definitely. And let me explain what we mean when we say speculation. Let's take an example of a company that does produce oil, and they want to get a loan for $5 billion so they can build another oil rig or improve a refinery or make some kind of an investment in a productive oil process. But they want a $5 billion loan, and so they go to the bank, and no bank in the world will loan them that $5 billion unless they will hedge that loan, meaning they have to go out into the market and find someone to buy their product for 3 or 5 years into the future so that they can have an assured income flow for the next 3 to 5 years and then give the bank the assurances that their loan is hedged properly. Well, somebody has to provide the liquidity for those futures markets transactions. And futures markets actually provide a price discovery function that levels out the price, usually reducing it, and allows for further investment and the establishment of a meaningful market for these commodities that otherwise would see very wild gyrations in the prices.
I know this is a curiosity question, Senator. Your state, the beautiful state of Idaho, is known to many people for its famous potatoes, but is there any geographical part or perhaps even southeastern or southwestern Idaho that might lend itself to the nation's energy needs? Is there oil there?
Well, you know, we have wished for years that there was oil in Idaho somewhere, and they've actually been out there looking for it many times, but so far they haven't found it, not even in the shale oil form. So in terms of petroleum production, Idaho is not really a player. Idaho is very aggressively engaged in things like ethanol in terms of corn and sugar and other production potentials like that. We are also trying to become very heavily involved in nuclear power. We have the lead national nuclear laboratory in Idaho for the government, and we'd like a lot more commercial nuclear power in Idaho as well.
As part of the solution, do you embrace T. Boone Pickens' plan?
I think that everybody hears different things when they listen to T. Boone Pickens' proposals, but what I hear, I agree with. And what I mean by that is he's saying that we can't solve our problem just by looking at petroleum alone, and he's right. America needs to diversify its energy sources broadly into things like nuclear and wind and solar and alternative and renewable fuels. We cannot be so dependent on petroleum, and I agree with him there. I also agree, and I think he's saying this, that we need to look at everything. We've got to be very diversified. We've got to look at our energy policy like we would look at an investment decision and diversify and not just put all of our eggs in one basket.
Well, we're watching the oil prices very closely, Senator, and I wanted to get your take on this. The oil prices dropped about $20 a barrel from the high a couple of weeks ago. Wouldn't this be a golden opportunity to strengthen the dollar and firm it up when prices drop like that?
Yes, it absolutely would. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation, if you will, about why the energy or the oil prices did drop. Some say that it was related to President Bush's announcement that he was going to release the presidential ban on outer continental shelf drilling. Others say it's as a result of the marked reduction in consumption that we've seen in the United States, where the drop-off in demand in the United States has to have had an impact on the supply and demand curves. I think it was probably a little bit of both of those. And the fact that the United States might now be very aggressively looking at engaging in its own production rather than being so dependent on foreign sources of fuel may be causing those in the marketplaces to think that, well, you know, there may be another spurt of supply that we weren't counting on before, and that can impact their decisions about what they think the future price of gasoline will be.
Don't know how often you get a chance to get elbow to elbow with Senator McCain, but when he appeared on our show, I said, you know, Senator, I put my partisan hat on, and I said, if you come out with and declare this to be an issue to a Kennedy-esque speech and call for a Manhattan-style project where everybody, private sector as well as government, put all of its resources and time into solving the nation's energy means and working together, it'd be a home run. You'd get elected. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree. You know, the United States can put a man on the moon. We can develop a nuclear weapon. We can solve problems. In fact, we've shown historically that American ingenuity and creativity and entrepreneurship has been able to solve every problem that has been thrown at our nation so far. And a president who would stand up and lead by saying we've got to do the same thing in energy policy would be loved by the American people. And the reality is we could do it. We have a tremendous number of great ideas, tremendous amount of great research and technology that's coming on that will give us a number of avenues of solution if we will simply get past the partisanship and work together.
And finally, do you think it's going to be, sensitive to your state, a very rough winter for ranchers and those who work in agriculture in your state, given the high energy costs?
Oh, very rough. The high energy prices have a big, in fact, they have a double whammy on agriculture because not only is the transportation and the fuel a big part of the cost of production, but also the fertilizer has very heavy fuel costs built into it. And so they get a double hit there. And the Idaho, as well, our nation's agricultural producers have been benefiting, frankly, in the last few years from very high commodity prices in general. Oil is not the only commodity that is going very high in price. But the only thing about those high commodity prices that has, or about the fuel prices that has kept our farmers alive is the high commodity prices on the other side. If we saw a slide in agriculture commodity prices, these high fuel prices would devastate our farmers and ranchers.
And before you go, do you think we ought to re-look at this issue of ethanol and gasoline, given the two things that we've discovered? It causes problems for some automobiles, and motorists are experiencing a lot of build-up problems, and the other thing is the boating industry. You put gas with ethanol in it, clogs up and makes a real mess out of motors. Did we overshoot the target and may need to revisit that issue?
Well, I don't think so. I think we actually need to use research and technology and that American ingenuity to solve those problems so that we can continue to utilize ethanol. But again, we can't look at ethanol as the only solution. It's just a part of the solution. And like that investment portfolio I've talked about before, America must be diversified. Ethanol should be a part of, but not the core, of our energy policy.
Senator Mike Crapo of Idaho. Well, they were right. Great talking with you, sir, and I do appreciate you giving us the time today on the Bernier program.
Thank you.
Good
appreciate
luck
it.
To you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.